This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts, Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad. Habibi Rabbil Alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'een. Wa tabi'een lahum bi ihsanin wa hudan. Ila yawmiddin. Allahumma faqihna fi ddeen. Wa alimna ta'wil. Wa alhimna rushdana. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. In our daily Rawha, where we're looking at guidance for seekers of knowledge, we are covering bi-ithnillahi ta'ala two texts. We gave an opening yesterday to the set of 40 hadiths that we'll be covering from Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani, which is a unique work because it gathers 40 sets of 40 hadiths on 40 fundamental topics related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His greatness and praise. There's a whole slew of 40 hadiths on the rank, virtues, unique qualities, characteristics, family, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And that, it's a beautiful collection. The author himself said that no one has compiled anything so unique. Right? And the hadiths in it are taken from, carefully from sound sources. So we looked at a brief introduction related to that. The second text that we're going to be looking at, which we'll be introducing today, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, is a text on the adab of knowledge. A text on the adab of knowledge, and this text is called Ta'limu al-Muta'allim Turuq al-Ta'allum. Instructing the student on the ways of studying, on the ways of learning. And the author of this text is Imam Burhanuddin Az-Zarnuji. And Imam Az-Zarnuji was, they say there's certain ways that a person is known, right? A certain ways that a person is known, right? Socially, in all traditional societies, a person would be known by their biological parents, who is Zayd. Zayd is the son of Uncle Bilal. Okay? And that's how people would be introduced. And actually, people's names would be Zayd ibn Bilal, right? For example. And if someone would be introduced socially, say, oh, he's so-and-so's son, so-and-so's daughter. And in the Sharia, this is considered very important, right? Because the family is the building block of society, but one of the maqasid of the Sharia, one of the foundational aims of the Sharia, is hifdhun nasl, the preservation of lineage. And a lot of guidance of the Sharia has come with respect to the preservation of lineage. Why? Because sound marriages, sound families, sound communities, these are the building blocks of sound societies. And without sound societies, good is not properly preserved, whether worldly or spiritual, for humanity. That's in a worldly way. But how are people known spiritually? How are they known religiously? They're known by their teachers. If you introduce someone, the most important thing is, whose student are they? Okay. And they say, you know, a scholar without a teacher, they say, Sheikh so-and-so. Who are they a student of? Oh, they don't have teachers. That's like saying, oh, there's Zayd, the son of, oh, doesn't have a father, right? That's, that just like it is socially unbecoming, it is religiously unbecoming. So when it comes to Imam Zarnuji, and that's of course a way of preserving religious knowledge, because the Prophet ﷺ said, scholars are the inheritors of prophets. Right? So how is knowledge, the knowledge of prophets taken? Through inheritance. And only the most immediate relations inherit. Right? Nephews don't inherit. It's the children who inherit. So the religious children of a teacher are their students. And Imam Al-Marghinani, you can read about his biography, and we'll make it available, bismillah ta'ala, just a brief biography. Imam Zarnuji, it is sufficient to mention that his teacher was Shaykh al-Islam Burhanuddin Al-Marghinani, the author of the Hidayah. The author of the Hidayah. And the Hidayah, of course, being the masterpiece of legal writing in the Hanafi school. So, and Imam Zarnuji studied with a number of other very distinguished scholars of his time as well. One of the interesting things in the Hanafi school is that arguably of the four schools of Sunni Islam, the school in which we have the fewest biographies of its scholars is the Hanafi school, which is quite strange. Because if we look at the corpus of manuscripts in Islamic law, historically, and there's a number of projects where they've tried to do a meta-index of Islamic manuscripts. About 55 to 60% of the manuscripts in Islamic law that we can find in the major libraries in the world are in the Hanafi school. The Hanafis were fuqaha, right? Above all. But yet, they generally avoided biography. Like, you find biographies of them, but you don't find that much. And there's several reasons. So we don't have that much information about Imam Zarnuji directly. But you see throughout the text a number of observations. One of which I found very interesting is how closely attached he is to his own teachers. He consistently quotes from Imam Al-Marghinani, for example. And he consistently quotes from, and frequently quotes from a number of other teachers as well. And he was a 6th century scholar. And what is it that distinguishes, what makes this work very, very unique? There's a few tangible reasons. One of which is that it is brief, right? It is brief. Most of the copies. Someone have a physical copy on them? It's in any edition, it's less than 100 pages. actually comfortably less than that. Some of the editions, like one, I have an older edition, it's only in 40 pages, right? But that's a slightly older edition. So it's not a very long work. So it's accessible. Another benefit of it is, point of distinction, is that it is comprehensive. It is comprehensive. We'll be looking in the introduction how he looks at the major things that need to be. It's comprehensive in terms of scope, right? In terms of scope, that he looks at the major things that a student of knowledge needs, right? So it is brief yet comprehensive, right? In scope, but it is selective. It is selective. So he doesn't say everything that needs to be said about everything. And that's part of the adab of knowledge, as he will himself instruct. He begins with a little bit and he builds step by step. Right? So in any of the chapters, you could, if you pause, you could say, well, a lot more could be said about such and such. But part of the way of nurturing scholarship, right, is that one takes knowledge a little at a time. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in the Quran, "Kunu rabbaniyin," be lordly scholars. Right? Literally, be rabbis. Right? And al-alim al-rabbani is the scholar who themselves are scholars who themselves are strongly attached to their Lord. That he is their purpose. They are devoted to him, and whose teaching is out of their commitment to their Lord. But it is also someone who is characterized by the quality of tarbiyah. They are a murabbi, right? Tarbiyah, which is nurturing. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our nurturing Lord, ar-Rabb. The meaning of Lord, of Rabb in the Arabic language, is not simply Lord as master. Right? Rabb actually is from the divine names of mercy and concern, rather than majesty and awesomeness. I mean, it is majestic and awesome, but it connotes the sense of divine mercy, okay? Which is why some people, it's very hard to translate Rabb in one word, but sometimes it translated as the cherisher of the world. Like, what does that mean, right? Or the merciful Lord. But then it becomes redundant, because you say the merciful Lord who is merciful and compassionate, like in the Basmala, or the caring Lord. It could also be translated as the nurturing Lord, because a Rabb is the one who is master to his servant, but who is concerned for his servant, and who takes his servant, or is concerned for his creation, and who takes his creation gradually, stage by stage, towards what is of ultimate good for them. So that's tarbiyah, right? And this is the sunnah of Allah in creation, is to take things gradually, step by step. So, al-alim al-rabbani, right? When Allah commands us in the Quran, be lordly scholars, Ibn Abbas explained, and this is mentioned by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih, in the Book of Knowledge, under a chapter heading, that al-alim al-rabbani man 'allama an-nasa sighar al-'ilmi qabla kibarihi. The lordly scholar, or the nurturing scholar, is the one who teaches people small amounts of knowledge before large amounts. And that's the nature of this work. It is also with that, it is built on the guidance and counsel and wisdom of the scholars before. Most of the book consists of quotes and examples and stories from the great scholars before. The great scholars that he himself learned from, most notably, Sheikh al-Islam al-Marghinani, the author of the Hidayah, and a number of others. And so these are some of the distinguishing qualities. Right? So what we'll be doing in the upcoming lessons is that each of the rohas will be reading from both texts. We'll be reading from the collection of 40 hadiths, and we begin with 40 hadiths on the 40 hadiths that are a hadith qudsiyya. They're sacred hadiths, and the second part we'll be reading through the work by Imam Imam Zarnuji on Ta'lim al-Muta'allim. Today we're just going to look at the opening of Imam Zarnuji's text. So he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, merciful and compassionate. Alhamdulillah alladhi faddala bani Adam bil ilmi wal amal ala jami' al alam. All praise is due to Allah, who granted preeminence to the children of Adam through knowledge and action over all creation. And what is it that distinguishes the human being over others? Is that Allah has granted us choice, given us intellects, granted us the capacity to gain beneficial knowledge and to act on it, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And that's what distinguishes us over the rest of creation, potentially. وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ سَيِّدِ الْعَرَبِ وَالْعَجَمِ. And all blessings and peace be upon our master Muhammad, the master of both Arabs and non-Arabs. The Ajam are non-Arabs. وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ يَنَبِيعِ الْعُلُومِ وَالْحِكَمِ. And upon the Prophet's family and companions, the springs of knowledges and wisdom. The springs of knowledges and wisdom. And the family of the Prophet ﷺ refers directly to the family itself of the Prophet ﷺ. When it is a context of dua, the entire ummah is meant. Right? But here, it's the actual prophetic household, because as Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, رَاقِبُ مُحَمَّدًا فِي آلِ بَيْتِهِ. Be mindful of Muhammad with respect to his household. And the learned and righteous of the prophetic household are a source of exemplars and guidance for the believers, just as the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are a source of exemplars for us in our lives and guidance. So he says, so he begins by explaining why he wrote this work. So we'll just look at that briefly. He says, وَبَعْد, to proceed. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ كَثِيرًا مِنْ طُلَّابِ الْعِلْمِ فِي زَمَانِنَا يَجِدُّونَ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ وَلَا يَصِلُونَ وَمِنْ مَنَافِعِهِ وَثَمَرَاتِهِ يُحْرَمُونَ لما أنهم أخطأوا طرائقه وتركوا شرائطه وكل من أخطأ الطريق ضل فلا ينال المقصود قل أو جل. This is all, right? This is a conditional statement from فلما till there. This is the whole conditional statement and its dependent clauses. The response is أردت وأحببت, right? So he says, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ كَثِيرًا مِّن طُلَابِ الْعِلْمِ فِي زَمَانِنَا يَجِدُّونَ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ وَلَا يَصِلُونَ. When I saw so many seekers of knowledge in our time, and he's talking about the 6th Islamic century, right? So many seekers of knowledge in our time striving to seek knowledge, but not attaining. وَمِن مَنَافِعِهِ وَثَمَرَاتِهِ يُحْرَمُونَ. And from its benefits and its fruits, they are debarred, they are prevented. Why? لِمَا أَنَّهُمْ أَخْطَأُوا طَرَائِقَهُ. Because they have erred in the ways of its pursuit. وَتَرَكُوا شَرَائِطَهُ. And they have left its conditions. وَكُلُّ مَنْ أَخْطَأَ الطَّرِيقَ ضَلْ. And anyone who errs on the path that they take is lost. فَلَا يَنَالُ الْمَقْصُودِ. So they do not attain unto the goal. قَلَّ أَوْ جَلْ. Whether that goal is small or large. Anything you want to pursue, there's a right way of pursuing it. If you pursue that way, in the right way, you should expect the right result. Doesn't matter what you want to seek, if you don't seek it in the right way, it's foolish to imagine that you will attain it. So he says, أَرَدْتُ وَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ طَرِيقَ التَّعْلِيمِ. I sought and wished and liked to make clear for them the way of learning. عَلَى مَا رَأَيْتُ فِي الْكُتْبِ. Or الْكُتُبِ. It can be pronounced both ways. In accordance with what I have seen in the books. وَسَمِعْتُ مِنْ أَسَاتِيذِي. And from what I heard from my teachers. أُولِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْحِكَمِ. The possessors of knowledge and wisdom. رَجَاءَ الدُّعَاءِ لِي مِنَ الرَّاغِبِينَ فِيهِ الْمُخْلِصِينَ. Seeking thereby for dua for me from those avid for it and those sincere. اللهم اقبله يا رب العالمين. بالفوز والخلاص. That Allah grant me salvation and safety. في يوم الدين. On the day of reckoning. بعد ما استخرت الله تعالى فيه. After I made istikhara. I made the prayer of seeking guidance to Allah in it. وسميته تعليم المتعلم طريق التعلم. And I named it instructing the student regarding the ways of learning. وجعلته فصولا. And I made it into sections. So tomorrow, in the next class inshallah, we will look at the overview of the chapters. We'll look at the overview of the chapters بإذن الله تعالى, and just give you a brief introduction to the main point of each of those chapters. Those of you who want to read ahead can read till the end of the opening section before the first chapter, which is on the reality of knowledge and fiqh and its virtues. وبارك الله تعالى فيكم. We'll be reading the text itself in Arabic and trying to explain some of the words as well as we go along. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, daily guidance for seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the US.